We've been studying as a church through 1 John, and in 1 John, really, there's so much stuff. One thing I like about it is that John does not pull punches. John writes this and says things like this. He says, whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ is the Antichrist. Wow, that's a pretty heavy statement. He says things like, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. And he basically says, look, if you're living in sin, you're not a Christian. Last week, we looked at the fact that he said things like this. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Well, that's a little blunt, isn't it? We also looked at this verse, if this doesn't challenge you. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's not so bad. But the next verse says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Wow. If that doesn't convict you, you're a more generous, sharing person than I am. But we're going to go on today in 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at the first 6 verses, and we are going to ask ourselves this question. We're really going to ask ourselves, who speaks for God? I want to read it for you, then I'll pray. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Let's pray. Lord, this is your word. There are some things in there that are really clear. There are some things in there that are a little hard to understand. Lord, we pray that you would speak through your word, that you would speak to our hearts and minds. We pray that you would use my words, that all of our hearts and our minds would be open, and that we would hear from you, because you are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's dive right in. Verse 1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John right away starts out and says, look, test the spirits, see if they're from God or not from God. Now, do you notice what he's assuming right there? He is assuming what our society does not assume, that there is a spiritual world around us. Right? I mean, we live in a world that largely likes to talk about the spiritual, but what we mean by the spiritual sometimes is just that idea that I'm in touch with my emotions and my feelings and kind of this broad connectedness force thing. I don't know what that even means. But John is saying, look, there are spirits around us. In fact, I think it's good. I want us to just take a second and kick back to 2 Kings chapter 6, which really kind of explains a little bit of what's going on. 2 Kings chapter 6, here's what's going on. Elisha has been telling the people of Israel, okay, this is what the king of Aram is doing. So what was happening was Israel was at war with Aram, and the Arameans would have a plan. And God was telling Elisha, the prophet, this is what they're going to do. This is where they're going to be. And so Elisha was going to the king and saying, that's what they're going to do. That's where they're going to be. And so Aram was like, literally, he goes to his leaders and his wise people. He says, look, I feel like he's reading my email. Has he hacked my email and somehow he's in my Google account finding out what we're going to do? And they tell him, well, you know what's going on is that this man of God, Elisha, is telling their king what's going on. And so the king of Aram says, instead of focusing on their army, I'm just going to take out this Elisha. And there's this powerful scene where basically this is what happens. He is outraged and he goes and he surrounds them. And in verse 15, it says, when the servant of the man of God, Elisha's servant, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And the servant says, oh, my Lord. Now, I'm not sure whether he's saying, oh, my Lord, Elisha, or he's saying, oh, my Lord, what shall we do? And Elisha says, there are more for us than against us. And the servant has to be thinking, so when you went to Prophet Bible College, apparently you didn't take math classes. Because there's you and me, there's two, and there's an army of horses and chariots around us. And so Elisha prays that his servant's eyes would be opened, and this guy has a vision, and it says, the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, what the Bible teaches and what is true is that there's a spiritual world around us and we don't see it. And John is saying there are some good spirits and some bad spirits. Now, some people don't believe this. Either they don't believe in spirits at all. Spirits, come on. You believe in like dragons and elves too? Come on. Or they believe that, oh, well, we're just spiritual. And so I talk to the spirits and I ask the spirits to tell me what I'm supposed to do. But do you see what's scary about that? I mean, as you look at the world around us, if there's a spiritual world around us, judging by what you see, are all the spirits good? No. John is saying, look, there are evil spirits out there and we need to differentiate, ask ourselves, who speaks for God? Who do you listen to? What are the good spirits? What are the bad spirits? I could tell you stories about encounters and things I've been involved with in Haiti, in Ecuador, in Kenya, in Indonesia, where you are very aware there is real battle going on. And if you don't differentiate between the good and the bad, you're in big trouble. So I want to remind you, and I know that most people in this room probably like, yeah, I know that. But, I mean, do you know it? There's a difference between knowing something and actively remembering it, right? Or maybe the better phrase is, keep in mind that. How often do you go through a day? And maybe you're better than me, but this is not a good question for me. How many times do I go through a day without ever thinking about the fact that there's a spiritual battle around me? It's what the Bible teaches from beginning to end. Starts out in Genesis, Satan tempts Adam and Eve, and they fall. And it goes all the way through the Old Testament. It goes through the life and ministry of Jesus. Even when Jesus is rising from the dead, there's angels that announce it. And when you come to the book of Revelation, it's about spirits. And there's good spirits and bad spirits. And we need to know this. Look, if you call yourself a Christian, if you reject the reality of the spiritual world, you reject the Bible. And if you reject the reality of the spiritual world, I would go further and say that you reject Jesus. But we don't tend to think of the spiritual world as being real, do we? You don't believe me? Test yourself. Ask this question. If you found out there was an escaped murderer armed loose in your neighborhood, would that affect in any way your behavior? Would you stay in the house and lock the door? A few of you are like, I, I'd pull out my gun. No. Not a good choice, okay? Just clear. You'd stay in your house and lock the door because, oh, that's a dangerous thing. But when we say that Satan, the prince of darkness, who is a murderer and a liar and is out to devour the souls of people, how often do we just forget? We don't even think about it. So that's the first thing I want you to know. In fact, side note, would you invite the murderer into your house to play board games? You ever heard of a Ouija board? I don't want to get real like, ooh, I anti this, scare everything. But I will tell you that when you do a Ouija board game, you are asking unnamed spirits into your house to speak to you. I'm just saying. So then it goes on. It says, this is how you recognize the Spirit of God. And he basically says, the spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. If they don't acknowledge Jesus, they are not from God. See, the second thing I want you to know, there's a spiritual war around us, but we are in the spiritual war. Look at the second part of this. It says, every spirit that, well, look at the second part of verse 1. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. In other words, they're in the world and they're trying to deceive people. There are spirits on both sides and they are out to destroy us. And we need to understand that this touches every area of our lives. Have you ever stopped and thought about the fact that, there's a spiritual battle going on in my workplace. There's a spiritual battle going on in my school. There's a spiritual battle going on in my family, in my marriage. There's a spiritual battle going on in my church. There is. It's not like, it's okay. Nothing bad ever touches our churches. Even within our own souls, 1 Peter 2:11 says, there's a spiritual battle going on. And James 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It doesn't say ignore the devil and he'll go away. It says resist him and he will flee from you. And the other verse I want to mention here, and I would encourage you to read this and think about it and pray about it. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11 says this, we are not unaware of his schemes. Aren't we? How often do we ask ourselves, what's the enemy's strategy for making me ineffective? He has one, unless he's decided that, maybe he's decided that Mark is so unpowerful and ineffective that I don't even need to bother. The truth is when a spiritual war, and we need to be aware of what's going on. Now, I'm not talking about, there's a demon. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that in every major sports event, one of the holy grails of anything is to get your hands on what? The other team's playbook. Because if you know their playbook, you can beat them. You can prepare for what's going to happen. I'm praying that the Bears will get a playbook sometime in the next few years. We need to be aware that not only is there a spiritual world, but there's a battle and we're in it. Next thing I want to point out going on is that our enemy that we fight against in this is a real threat. To go back to the sports analogy, one of the most dangerous things that every coach talks about is don't take that team for granted because we know we're going to win. That's the worst thing you can possibly do. And so he's saying, look, you need to understand that there are people false prophets coming out of the church that have gone out into the world. And it's hard to tell them apart. He says that over and over again. You know, this is how you know, but you know, it's all going on. And you can tell, especially if you've read the rest of the book, by this point you're like, man, this is scary stuff. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, Satan goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We were in Yellowstone a few years ago, and, you know, you have the, just so you know, they are not buffalo. Everybody repeat after me, bison. Thank you. That's what they are. They're not buffalo. Anyway, the bison are there, and they look so big and fluffy and kind of snuffleupagus-ish, you know? And people all the time, and you'll see these videos sometimes posted in the news, people get out and they're like, I want to get a picture taken with a bison. And there was a picture this year, and I thought about trying to find this video of this woman being, she was, anybody saw this? I see a few heads nodding. She went out and stood next to the bison, and the bison like picked her up and basically threw her about 20 feet. It was a little girl, I think, actually. You know what that's about? It's about people saying, ah, that's not a threat. That's not a threat. The truth is, we need to understand that Satan is a real threat. These people that we're talking about in 1 John came from within the church. They didn't look evil. They weren't wearing little red capes and horns and going, hey, hey, hey. They didn't look like Severus Snape trying to be evil. They looked good. Bible says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 that there will be false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing. Acts chapter 20 says that there will even be pastors. He's talking to pastors and leaders and elders and saying, some of you will turn away and will teach wrong things. Our enemy is a real threat. And some of you are going, yeah, but it says that here that, you know, we're greater than him. No. See, we don't want to become obsessed with this. I love the quote from C.S. Lewis. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive, an unhealthy interest in them. We need to be aware that this is going on. But in order to recognize a counterfeit, you know how they teach you how to recognize counterfeit money? By teaching you how to recognize real money. The most important thing we can do in this spiritual battle is know the truth of who Jesus is and what the Word of God says and what God, who God has revealed himself to be. So we don't become obsessed, but we get clear. Now you might be thinking, this is creepy. You know, they're saying there's like demons everywhere. Maybe we should be obsessed. Listen to verse 4. You, dear children. Now, that might seem a little condescending to you, and it's meant to be. You, dear children. You're just children. We're just children. Are from God and have overcome them. Oh, because we're powerful. No. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Do you hear that? It doesn't say because you are greater than the one who's in the world. He's saying the one who is in you. And so that's the next thing I want you to know, is in this spiritual battle, our weapons that we have are enough. In fact, if you're doing the memory verses, that's this week's memory verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you. Do you understand this? Jesus went to the cross. Satan threw everything he had at Jesus. Jesus was mocked. He was lied about. He was rejected. He was denied by his followers. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was crucified. And he was dead on the cross. There was a sword and a spear in his side to show that he was, you know, water flowed, which meant that the heart had given up. He was buried dead 3 days. And he was victorious over death. He rose from the dead because that is what it means to say that the spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in us. And so we have victory, not because we are strong, but because the same spirit that did that is in you and is in me. And that is a totally different situation. Satan is defeated. Christ has one. The weapons we have are adequate. But Satan is not going down without a fight. The fight's still around us. So what are the weapons we have in this battle? Number one, and this is crucial. Please hear me on this. I don't care how many times you've been to church in your life. The only weapons we have come from belonging to Jesus. That's where the Spirit comes from. All through these verses, it's about Jesus being from God. All through this book, it's about over and over again, we belong to God. We are children of God. He is in us. That's how we know that. And I want to ask you this question. Do you belong to Jesus? Parents, do you understand we are in the midst of a spiritual war for the souls of our kids? In the midst of a spiritual war for the souls of our kids. And the only way we are able to be even remotely successful in that war is if we belong to Jesus. GEMS leaders, you are on the front lines. And everybody, do you belong to Jesus? That's what it says. It says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you, because you know Jesus. Secondly, one of the weapons we have is the ability to test the spirits. Look at verse 5. They are from the Lord and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. In other words, there are different voices going on here, and we need to ask who speaks for God. Not what do I want to hear, or not what sounds good to me, or not what is most attractive to me in my life. Is this from the Bible? And I want to tell you, in our society, when you go to church, and if your pastor has trouble with me saying this, send him over. I'll be happy to talk. Because it applies to me too. Are you hearing words from the Bible, or are you hearing the Bible? Because I could preach you a really pretty sermon starting from the Bible and ending up in the pit of hell. Test the spirits. Ask, you know, wait. Is this consistent with what's going on around here? Is this consistent what I see in the book? Is this consistent sometimes just in the verses around the verse that he's talking about? Interestingly, one of the things we need to do is we need to test our own thoughts. We live in a society where people are like, well, this feels right to me. The Bible says that a lot of this happens in our own mind. It talks about tearing down strongholds, you know, in 2 Corinthians. And a lot of people are like, oh, we have power to tear down strongholds. But they usually don't preach the next verse, which the next verse says, we need to take every thought captive. You know where those strongholds are? They're in our minds. They're in our hearts. They're in us. And we need to test our own thoughts. And we need to be willing to be confronted and to confront each other about our own thoughts. And the number one test we have to take on this one is the Jesus test. If you weren't here 4 weeks ago, I preached on this on January 24th. The Jesus test is this. Do you hear what it says? Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. John comes back to what he talked about a few weeks ago. Everything in this, in your life, for this life and eternity, comes down to this: Jesus. What do you believe about Jesus? Not, do you believe in Jesus? Good grief. Satan believes in Jesus, right? And that's why we have to have sometimes difficult conversations. Muslims believe in Jesus, but they don't believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. So he doesn't really believe what John's talking about here. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses really believe that Jesus was a created kind of secondary God. In other words, they believe that he wasn't really God, capital G God, in the flesh. And part of this ties into the fact that we have to ask the question is, this voice that I'm listening to, do they believe that the death of Christ fully pays for my sin? Fully pays, not partially pays, not gets me a good start. Do they believe that the death of Christ fully pays for our sins? Romans 8, verse 1 says this: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say less condemnation. It doesn't say, you know, a minimized condemnation. It says there's none. If you belong to Jesus, it's paid for, it's done. And if you don't believe that Jesus is fully God, fully man, and it's fully paid, then we'll stop and think about that. If you don't believe he's fully God, then you can live any way you want, right? Well, he's just this guy. If you don't believe that he's fully man, then nobody's lived a perfect life. And the Bible says that we are, the righteousness of Christ is credited to us. If he's not fully man living a sinless life, then the math doesn't work. And if it's not fully paid, we're saying, hey, Jesus, when you said it is finished, you were either wrong or you were lying, Jesus. It's fully paid. And the last weapon we have is this. We can trust. The Spirit in us, not us, but the Spirit in us, speaks to us. And it says, look at verse 6. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Now, just so you know, scholars pretty much agree that when it says we in verse 6, it's talking about the apostles. The people who had followed Jesus from the beginning. There weren't many of them left at this point when John's writing. But he's saying, look, we're from God. And people who aren't from God will not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. He is saying to them, look, we're from God. Trust our words. Trust our words. And remember this to close. This war has been won. Sin was defeated. Jesus lived a perfect, holy, sinless life. That has been credited to us. When we stand before God on Judgment Day, we are not judged based on the life we've lived if we have received what Christ did, because sin was defeated, it has been, biblical word, imputed to us. Death was defeated. Jesus rose from the dead to give us eternal life. Satan was defeated. The spiritual war has already been won. Once again, Sid and Pam, Sid, if you guys move to Texas, we got to get somebody else trained. Satan was defeated. And if you're a visitor listening, I want to recognize those of you that are at home. This is what it all comes down to. God created this good world for us to be in a relationship to Him. And Adam and Eve sinned, but let's face it, we've joined Him. We've joined Him. We can't blame them. That creation and that relationship was broken. Christ lived a perfect life, died as a substitute, and then He rose from the dead. And it says in the Bible that He spends eternity at the right hand of the Father as an advocate for us. Now, here's your choice. Before a holy God, who do you want for your lawyer? Rudy Giuliani, Jesus, fully God, fully man. Or do you want to be your own lawyer? You know what they say, any man who is his own lawyer has a fool for an attorney. Jesus is the advocate because He paid for us. The war has been won. Jesus has won.